Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, April 7th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 48, the fourth paragraph, The Prosaic Steel Girder, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps Sharon W., 12 Traditions Naomi B. Reader of the text is Deb E. Robin P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Leah S. The reference number for Tuesday, April 6th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,712. That's 16712. And for this morning, Wednesday, April 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,718. That's 16718. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kaylee R., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sharon W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sharon.
Thank you for your service, Dawn. This is Sharon W., a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Sharon W. I'll now ask Naomi B. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Naomi.
Good morning. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1. The common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted service. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffers. 6. An OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. 12. Anonymity is our spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Naomi B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 48, the fourth paragraph, starting with the prosaic steel girder, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Deb E. to begin reading. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. I'm Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. The prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed. These tiny bodies are governed by precise laws, and these laws hold true throughout the material world. Science tells us so. We have no reason to doubt it. When, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that underneath the material world and life as we see it, there is an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, right there our perverse streak comes to the surface and we laboriously set out to convince ourselves it isn't so. We read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments, thinking we believe this universe needs no God to explain it. Were our contentions true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. So here we have an example of science and how science can easily be explained and proven and doesn't really require us to stretch our beliefs at all. For me, it seems like it's pretty easily accepted. And the way I look at it, it's just like a fact that's presented at face value. It's the same kind of saying 2 + 2 = 4. You know, I don't really have any motivation to contest that. But when we get to the world of the spirit, I have to believe in something that isn't concrete, that, you know, according to my conception of a higher power, doesn't even have any kind of physical form or shape. And so it requires me to believe in something that's really very abstract. And the way I relate this to OA and my experience in OA is that a diet for me seemed like something scientific. You know, it's like how many calories in, how many calories burned, what combination of diet and exercise can get me the perfect body. It was all based on, you know, facts and figures and calculations and constant measuring and weighing and all that. But there's no spirit in there. There's no spiritual world. There's no higher being in any of that thinking, you know. And as a human being, as an infinite being, I couldn't understand. I can't even begin to understand how, like, my infinite higher power even does anything or how this whole thing works. You know, so when I came to OA, hearing that the solution was spiritual and I had to turn my life over just seemed so abstract. It resonated with me. There was something inside me that it really, you know, I was like, okay, I connected to right away, and I'm grateful for that. But it's a very big leap of faith, I find, that I had to take to go, okay, so you're not going to give me anything really concrete other than like working these steps, but I don't see how it doesn't feel scientific. It doesn't feel like it's going to lead me to some, you know, direct results. But it does end up leading me to a direct result. But it's all done through the world of the spirit. It's all done through living on that higher plane. And that last line, you know, it followed that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. In my years before OA, I remember feeling more and more like I kind of constantly question, like, is this all there is? Isn't there more to life? Is this all? And the reason I felt that emptiness was because I wasn't connecting to a higher power. I wasn't connecting to that higher level. And so it did feel very empty. And for me, you know, the solution is to live a more spiritual life, and that gives it meaning. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. And I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Christian?
Pardon?
Christian.
Christian. And what's your initial, Christian?
Oh, Christian Z.
Christian Z. Very good. Who else would like to share this morning?
Roz G.
Roz G. Okay, let's start with Christian Z, followed by Roz G.
Could you just repeat the page number?
Donna.
Sure. Okay, very good. We're on page 48, the fourth paragraph, starting with the prosaic steel girder. And I heard Donna.
Yes, I can go after Roz G, if you'd like.
Was that Donna G? Donna B?
Donna B in Denver.
Donna B, very good. Okay, thanks very much. Okay, let's go with Christian Z, followed by Roz G. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you very much for letting me share. So, you know, in this paragraph, they're showing us that oftentimes we can accept and, you know, sort of understand that there's something else going on. There's something a little bit bigger at play. There's these laws, you know, that are governing the material world. And we don't really question it. But then when it comes to the idea that we kind of apply that to, okay, well, if there's something governing the material world, maybe there's something kind of governing the spiritual world as well. And that's where the break happens for sort of. We don't want to assume or really get at what's underneath, you know, this world and life is what they're saying. And really that there's something more than us, right? That there's something bigger than us out there. And that is a huge part of the issue for us, is that when, for whatever reason, we refuse to see a higher power, and not just see it, but like really, you know, understand that this higher power is the higher power and that we're the creatures, and that this higher power kind of tells us what to do, you know, then if we can't do that, then we start to rely on ourselves. That's when we start to get into our reasoning, our thinking, and we come up with all sorts of reasons and ways to justify the way we're behaving and acting. But in actuality, you know, that's a sign of our spiritual illness, that we're missing something. And, you know, whatever our, that's the good news is the book kind of addresses, well, maybe some people that haven't had a good experience of God or a higher power. Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, for us, it's in this program, it's something bigger. It's a higher power, however we understand it. It doesn't have to be a specific image or concept. It can be whatever we need it to be, as long as we're ready to think of something else besides ourselves. And so, you know, yeah, for a long time we might be rooted in our old ideas and beliefs, and we might have really great concepts and schemes for how we think things work. But part of the program is letting go of those old ideas. You know, we've got to look and see, is it working for us? You know, we've been doing the same thing over and over and having the same result of trying to look for comfort. You know, well, then we're in good company, because that's oftentimes the type of person who might have this real chronic condition and can benefit from a book like this that shows us a way to a real freedom and a real solution that's much bigger and deeper than compulsive eating. You know, because, right, we can't rely on our minds. We can't just sit around and think about it and hope that we get through it. If we really have this illness, we're going to need something stronger and bigger than us. Otherwise, you know, we're kind of trying to rely on ourselves, and experience can show us how that's gone. So just pointing out the difficulty in accepting a higher power sometimes, but also that a higher power really, really can do the trick and does the trick. So I'll pass with that. This is Christian. Do we leave contact info?
No, not at this time. At the end of the meeting, you're welcome to do that. Thank you, Christian. All right, very good. Well, we'll now have Roz G. share with us, followed by Donna B. And if you'd like to say what state you're calling from, you're welcome to do that. Good morning, Roz.
Okay, good morning. My name's Roz G., and I'm in California, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm out walking my dog, so you may hear a little background noise. But my religion, my spirituality parallels the big book in so many ways. And one thing about this book, as I've learned, is that it is a program of attraction and not promotion. And in my religion, my Christian religion, I've also learned that if I start to try to proselytize people and try to convince people to believe like I believe, I'm just turning people off. So if I do that with Overeaters Anonymous by talking, you know, I tried to do that years ago, you know, when I was brand new in the program, was a very overweight lady at work. And I told her, I'm an Overeaters Anonymous. Would you like to try it? She didn't speak to me for a very long time. And I tried to tell people about my religious practice in other ways in the past, and I got turned away, and people were turned off by that as well. And also, there's a biologist at the local college in my town who has this yearly debate with a Christian. You know, he's the why there's no God, and the Christian is why there is. And I don't know if that really does, you know, convince people either way. You know, I don't know. All I know is that when I practice my spirituality, my religion, and the 12-step way of life, when I do what it says, when I exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, when I practice kindness, tolerance, patience, and love, I am an attraction to people. And I don't need to try to convince them whether there is a God or not. They are going to find that out on their own. I'm simply my primary purpose is to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. So if I'm walking in those steps every day, then I don't have to try to get into these debates. And I don't have to try to convince anyone of anything. All I need to do is simply live out the spiritual tools that are simply, you know, given at my feet, as it says somewhere earlier, you know, somewhere earlier. All I have to do is look up at that rising sun and know that I'm certainly not making it rise, or at that beautiful moon at night. It's just floating there. I have nothing to do with any of it, but I certainly can look at it and know that it works. And when I practice these steps the way that they are laid out in this book, and I live according to those, thank you, and I'll wrap up by saying, as I live according to these steps, I don't have to convince anybody of anything. It simply shows. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 48, the fourth paragraph, starting with the prosaic steel girder, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So after Donna B. is done sharing, we're going to be taking more names. Good morning, Donna. Please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver, Colorado. My name is spelled D-A-N-A, even though it's pronounced Donna. A couple of things stand out to me as I reflect on my own experience. When I became entirely abstinent, which I didn't know at the time how long that was going to be sustainable, my sponsor told me to get on my knees every morning and ask God to keep me sober and abstinent, and to get on my knees every night and thank God for keeping me sober and abstinent. And that all throughout the day, whenever I thought about food or weight or exercise or anything related to this disease, to ask God to relieve me of the obsession. So without a concept of God, at the very least, I had an experience of God. If I got down on my knees and asked God to keep me sober and abstinent at the beginning of the day, and I finished the day sober and abstinent and could get back on my knees and acknowledge that experience with gratitude, something was working in my life. And I did not need to understand that. I was comfortable with the mystery. And, you know, in this paragraph, it says we read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments. And in my experience, the books that I pick are the books that already reinforce the belief that I want to believe. I choose literature. I choose people. I engage in conversations with people who validate my own thoughts and thinking. So this idea of setting aside everything I think I know is so critical. So rather than chasing arguments that validate my own insecurities or build up beliefs that I'm struggling with, I'm inviting my higher power into my life to destruct, to destroy, to put aside my own thinking, to allow for something new to come in. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Donna B. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Debbie C. W.
Was that Debbie C?
P.
Debbie
Hall.
P. Okay. And who else do we have?
Jessie
Sharon
H.
W.
Jessie H.
Rosie W.
Mary P. W.
Ken W. H.
Ken W. H. Okay, I've got Debbie P., Jessie H., Mary P. W., and Ken W. H. Was there anyone I missed?
Sharon W.
Sharon W.
Laura P.
Laura P.
Gloria S.
And Gloria S. And let's stop right there. Okay, I've got Debbie P., Jessie H., Mary P.W., Ken W.H., Sharon W., Laura P., and Gloria S. We'll go ahead and get started with Debbie P. Good morning, and please let us know what state or country you're calling from if you'd like to do that.
Good morning. This is Debbie P. calling from Indiana. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And what I would like to say about this reading is how I didn't need to have the research because I just knew there was no spiritual being out there. I don't know how I knew that. I didn't research, and I would argue with anybody about that without any facts or figures or what have you, just because, hey, you know, Santa's not real and somebody proved me wrong on that one. So how can God be real? But the fact of the matter is I could still feel a presence, and I'm just, I have not felt worthy over the years to that this presence was going to help me. And so also because I found out that Santa or the Easter Bunny doesn't really exist, I had a fear of, if I believed in something, I was going to be disappointed to find out that it doesn't exist. And so for me, I had to rethink that. I had to get out of that I just know mode and get desperate with my food and get to the point where I had no other choice but to look at things differently. I just appreciate that so many people went before me, not only in the program, but this morning and shared, because that all of this, everybody else's experience, strength, and hope gives me the strength and hope to move forward. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie P. And now we'll have Jesse H. followed by Mary P.W. Good morning, Jesse, and you're welcome to let us know what state or country you're calling from so our people on our member list may contact you if they'd like to.
Hi, my name is Jackie H. from South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, thank you, Jackie. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Great shares this morning. I just... when I think about this paragraph, I think about the scientific stuff, which is way over my head. But if I relate it to the food, I think about a diet. And, okay, there's this diet, and I'm supposed to have this food, or how many carbs, vegetables, blah, 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 blah. And I try to follow this diet. I try to do everything, and I couldn't. I just couldn't. But when I came to the program and they said to, in the big book, to try to find a higher power, something outside of myself that could relieve the obsession to food, I was like, okay, well, I've always had God in my life. What does this mean? And what I found it to mean for me is someone told me once, good orderly direction. And when I was willing to humble myself and follow someone else's direction, which was my sponsor, which is the big book, and follow the steps, I was able to follow a food plan, not a diet, but a food plan that nourishes my body, mind, and spirit. And somehow this miracle happened that I'm no longer standing in the kitchen while I'm prepping my food, putting food in my mouth. I'm no longer, I weigh and measure my food. I said I would never do that. And I weigh and measure my food. Why do I do that? Because that takes the obsession away. I'm not overeating. I'm not undereating. I'm not beating myself up. And, so there were certain foods I had to get rid of because when I ate those foods, it triggered the allergy in my body. And then I couldn't stop. So today, God for me is divinity. It's the divinity of God. And God for me takes away the disease thinking and he changes it to his thinking or her thinking, but it's a miracle. And I believe in miracles today because without my higher power, I wouldn't be where I am today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jackie H. And now we'll have Mary P.W. followed by Ken W.H. Good morning, Mary, and if you'd like, let us know where you're calling from. Press star 1, Mary P.W.
Was it Rosie W.?
Pardon?
I think that was me, Rosie W.
Oh, very good. My bad. Go ahead, Mary. Rosie, thank you.
No worries. Hi, thanks so much. I'm Rosie W., compulsive overeater in the UK. I've had quite a mixed relationship with this paragraph over the years, because certainly before I came to program, I never believed in an all-powerful guiding creative intelligence, and my perverse streak was dominant, and I did read wordy books about why religion and faith were ludicrous. That was me. Equally, once I'd come into recovery and, you know, really genuinely taken my step one and turned to step two, I realized that, you know, my only hope was in a higher power. And the evidence came quickly, because as soon as I started trying to earnestly seek that higher power, the binging just stopped. And I still, when I think about the day where I realized that was it, I was going to be abstinent, I it still gives me sort of tingles down my spine, because it was just taken away. What I find interesting, though, is that over the years, I've continued to balk at this paragraph, because I still don't really believe in an all-powerful guiding creative intelligence. My conception of a higher power is quite personal to me. And I've got really bogged down in that, and really sort of irritable about this paragraph kind of telling me that I need to believe in a different kind of God. And it doesn't tell me that. I mean, if we look at the preceding pages, we have lines like, "Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God." Or we have, "We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him." Or we have, "When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God." So there's these and many other lines in this chapter that remind me that I don't have to believe in the God that's, you know, that's written, described halfway down this paragraph. And yet I choose to focus on the differences still. And I've been trying to, obviously, this being a program of action, I've been trying to really challenge that propensity towards spotting the differences and the negativity, because that's what my broken addict mind still will have me do automatically if I'm not fully surrendered. And I started in my evening practice to start discussing with a fellow in the fellowship areas in which my recovery has gone well that day, because otherwise I'll just look at all of my failures. And similarly, I've started going through the step nine promises before I go to sleep and just examining where they've come true in my day. And funnily enough, it's all there. So slowly but surely, I feel like my negativity bias is beginning to fade. And I'm finally becoming willing to listen to what I often hear shared, particularly in this room, people saying,
okay,
if, you know, something along the lines of, if you know, if you understand your higher power, then it's probably not big enough. And I'm finally feeling willing to look at my higher power and to see if there is room for something a bit bigger or broader or roomier or more inclusive. And if there's not, that's fine. But I've been so adamant for so many years that my higher power is the right higher power and that's it. And that I know exactly what it is and how it works. It feels like changes in the air. Thanks. And that's very much thanks to this wonderful meeting. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rosie W. Ken W.H., will you share with us now, followed by Sharon W.? Good morning, Ken.
Thank you so much. This is Ken W.H., Cary, North Carolina. Glad to be here this morning. I just, looking up in the dictionary, that wonderful word perverse that just jumps right out there. And it basically says it's showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable. Well, I can relate to that. I have been perverse with food for most of my life. Unreasonable, unacceptable behavior with food. This whole idea of a power greater than myself, if I don't have it in some form, I'm in trouble. I tried for 38 years to manage my recovery, manage my so-called abstinence, while still eating sugar and some other things. But I was convinced I was still okay. I was abstinent and I was doing this thing. And it wasn't until this past year that, well, God just, or something, nailed me over the head and said, no. You've got, you don't understand, Ken. You have a perverse relationship to this food stuff. And what I've come to understand and really grow to like a lot, and I've studied about God a lot. I've read a lot of the books and all of that. But I've come to this place in my life where it's, I like the Latin understanding, three words, O magnum mysterium, O great mystery. And as long as I have that sense of mystery, that feeling of mystery that goes with it, I'm all set. I'm in the right place with my God. Who am I to say anything absolute about something that I think of as a mystery? And yet it's a mystery that is great, and it is a mystery that makes me reasonable, makes me teachable, makes me acceptable, makes me sane today, and abstinent. And I'm grateful for that. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Ken W.H. Sharon W., we share with us now, followed by Laura P. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Sharon W., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Southern California. So the prosaic still girder is such a complex scientific idea. Sort of less complex for me is just the thought of when I get on a plane, I need to trust that I'm going to arrive to my destination. I don't really know how the plane works. I could certainly research it and try to figure it out, but I need to trust it. Of course, if the engine's cut off, I will most likely not make it to my destination. Or when I'm prescribed medicine for a serious illness, I need to trust, even though I don't understand how that medicine might work, if I trust my doctor and trust in the process, I will take that medicine, and it will be most likely life-saving. And so after 50 years of compulsive food behaviors, I absolutely must believe in a power greater than myself. I have no choice, and I also must, I know the paragraph talks about the belief and not necessarily the connection, the contact, but if I don't connect every day with that higher power that I choose to believe in, like the airplane, I will crash. So, for me, there's no question. I must believe on the days that I don't take the time and I just have this thought of a higher power, but I don't actually connect, I find myself in a bad place. And the minute I connect back and believe, I'm on a safe road. I'm safe in the sky. My health is there. I'm abstinent and I'm happy and very grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sharon W. Laura P., will you share with us now, followed by Gloria F. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Laura P. I'm from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'm a little shaky putting my voice out there. So thank you for letting me and accepting my shakes. I think, and I do it because this is probably my most favorite chapter of the whole book that got me to stay with the 12 steps. I grew up with, you know, my image of God was a white, judgmental man, and he was just harsh, and I incorporated all the harshness in myself. So when I first found out that, you know, I was sick with my compulsive eating, and I was referred to the Big Book, I just resisted so much, you know, I just, withdrew. But it is this chapter that that made God bigger than a pronoun. You know, when I first was decided to do the book, okay, give in, you know, like cry uncle, then I wanted to change every he for she. But I don't want it to be a pronoun. And when I read this now and it says even, they're referring to electrons, but I see this as me. These tiny bodies are governed by precise laws, and these laws hold true throughout the material world. I'm this tiny body, and it's God's law. And like the previous people have said, I need to be reminded of that I have this God's law, good orderly direction, every single day. And if I don't, I think my tiny my tiny body is God. You know, I try to run it and it doesn't run very well. But I am very grateful to have found a very large higher power today that I can turn to. And I've been struggling since the holiday. I'm used to a holiday with family and celebration, and I don't have that. And so, but I'm not eating over it, and I'm getting to see some parts about myself that are uncomfortable. And I know, because of this chapter, I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm in God's law. And just being here with you and listening, even when I'm not, you know, I got these negative thoughts going on about myself, I know by attending the meeting, by being with God every single day, that I'm where I'm supposed to be and learning to trust. So with that, thanks so much for letting me share my task.
Thank you so much, Laura P. We are on page 48, the fourth paragraph, starting with the prosaic steel girder, commenting on that one paragraph. Gloria S., will you share with us, please? And then I'll open up the line to take a couple more names. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Gloria S., and I'm from Washington State. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, it's interesting, this paragraph. I saw some things in this paragraph that I haven't seen before. The word perverse streak, that, and for me, this is my experience. This thing comes up in me where I resist and I start to kind of fight against. And then the words about there's wordy books, windy arguments. And I get in my head, I try to figure it out with my head. And my experience of deepening conscious contact with God, it's exactly when I let go of resisting and I let go of all the words and I sit still and I'm willing to accept, I don't know. What is this? You know, even be confused and feel feelings like that, that it feels like those are the places where my conscious contact with God deepens. You know, I'd like to say that, you know, I took step three and I'm good. But, you know, it's interesting. This paragraph is relevant today. Just yesterday, I was talking to my sponsor, and I actually had some wordy arguments, and I was in my head about why I couldn't do something. And this morning, I woke up, and they kind of went bye-bye. And I realized that, you know, that was a little bit of a perverse streak, a little resistance. And I think what I'm getting from this morning's reading is this isn't just back in step three. This happens all the time. And the reason this is important is because the thing that's going to solve my problem is a conscious contact with a power greater than myself. And I need to ever be willing to deepen that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Gloria S. And now I'd like to take a couple names if you haven't shared in the last 3 days. If you would give me your name and initial, please.
Leah S.
Stacy K.
Barbara W.
Leah
A.
Okay. And I heard Leah S. and Barbara W., and I apologize for those of you who were so enthusiastic to share and I didn't hear you. Please come back tomorrow and share. We'd love to hear you. All right, Leah S., please go ahead, followed by Barbara W.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your service, Don. And thank you, everyone on the line. My name is Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn. And they're using the word steel girder. And then what really sticks out for me is governed by precise laws. I came in here in these rooms very stubborn, very expecting, very judgmental. And what this paragraph is doing to me is a warning sign. It means, humble yourself, Leia. You don't know everything. Be open-minded. You were really narrow-minded. And there are other people out there. And just because you think you know life, life is not the way I know it. There's really a power out there that's running this life of yours and this world of yours. And proof of that is, oh my God, in these day and age. But what really brought me to understand and accept the 12 steps and the 12 traditions into my life was honestly humbling myself and opening myself up to understanding that there is something that is so great out there that I really can't imagine it. And I don't have to imagine it. I don't have to. And as it was mentioned, love and hate, do we see it? No, we feel it. Well, that's all that I've got to do. I've got to make it personal and feel that higher power within me. Oh, my God. Recovery is an 180-degree turnaround. It really is for me. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leia S. Now, Barbara W., will you share with us, please?
Good morning. Barbara W. here from Olympia, Washington. Well, what jumped out at me was the all-powerful guiding creative intelligence. I was raised in a religion, nothing really heavy duty, just it was every Sunday, and my mom was glad that I could go, you know, took me every Sunday, and et cetera, et cetera. And so when I got older and I started not to question my faith, but let's put it this way, my mind became more open to listening. And it was this the word guiding jumps out at me, guiding creative intelligence. And because my parents were divorced, I felt a little bit like you're just sort of floating in a boat with no sail and no oars kind of thing, just being knocked around by the waves. And I found myself looking at other ways to have my faith. And about in my mid to late 20s, I found that I wanted something more than, I guess, I needed to have a space where I, like that boat in the water, I needed to find that my God, my higher power was going to be in those waves. My higher power was going to be no matter where I was. I remember a woman telling me once that she did her best praying when she was ironing. And I just loved that because I can be I can be in the shower, I can be walking my dog, I can be shopping at the grocery store, and my guiding force, my higher power is going to be with me. I have to believe that. And what I love about it is that anybody, I don't have to tell them, I can share with them what my faith is about and what I believe. But each person, this is what I love about OA, each person, and we agnostics, needs to find their own path of spiritual recovery, their own way of doing things. And my job as a sponsor or even as an OA friend calling someone is to just open it up and say, this is how I did it, and I invite you to explore how your higher, what your higher power is going to look like and how it's going to be and
time
be part of your life. And it's helped me so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara W., and to everyone who shared, making this meeting just outstanding. Thank you so much. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Robin.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. Hi, everybody. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.